15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
You have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy as we have a great show prepared for you today. And I'd also ask that if you are on the internet, you can go to American Workers Radio right now and click on the Listen Live link, and you'll be able to hear from all of our panelists today. With me is Larkin Connolly. Also on board is Rich Loges and Mark Andel. And hopefully we're going to have a very interesting hour. But I would first like to start off by thanking Larkin Connolly, Mark Andel, and Nick Groh for being here last week for being part of the broadcast. I received a lot of good comments about our discussions, and it's really good to hear all of that feedback about Larkin's joke. That was really good. We'll have to have him repeat that at some point in the future, because that also demonstrated a lot of how America's economy is really going around. But Mark also did something very important, and he outlined the U.S. light bulb maker, and it has everyone wondering why we can't get another business here in the USA to expand and restore the light bulb industry, as well as other types of manufacturing. There's certainly enough empty buildings and enough land that we can build these institutions. So, Mark, I'm going to maybe have to ask you to address that during today's broadcast. And also, listeners heard about the caps and gowns that were made everywhere in the world, but only 10% of them here in the USA, and many people were very disappointed in that, and they said, how did we permit this to happen in the first place? But that's what happens when our national media focuses on other items rather than focusing on the important work that we're supposed to be doing here to help one another. And also, the fact that foreign companies are now looking to open manufacturing facilities here in the USA, but employ American workers, was also another point of interest. And I'm going to, of course, ask that everybody join in the discussion today to see what we can do to help our workers, our businesses, and to get all of the elected officials off their butts and to do some work to restore jobs. But first, I'm going to ask Mark to give us a few words. Mark, how is everything going with you?
Good. How you guys doing? Hello, listeners. Buffalo's got some sunny, nice weather for a change. We've had two nice days in a row, which rarely happens. Sun is out. No, we've been busy again. I'd like to tell you, Mike, I sent you two DVDs, and they should be arriving in your mail today or tomorrow. And then we will be going for sale real soon on our website and store. As soon as we've got the movies in, we just got to get them all priced out and put up. But that's kind of big news because the DVD has been a long time waiting, and I know you, Mike, been waiting to share that movie also.
Yes, I can't wait because there are some groups that are going to be coming in late June and early July. I'd like to show it to them.
Yeah, and by the end of the week, it should be on our website, madeinamericastore.com, too, so the DVD. You can go to their website, too, americanmademovie.com, and get the, you know, purchase it on the computer. But that's a big story, and, you know, we got a couple speaker engagements coming up with the movie. But we've been busy. The store's been busy. We had a real good weekend. I wanted to share a little funny thing on Memorial Day that did happen. I just got the article. They noticed about 31 flags missing from these veterans' graves when they did their memorial ceremony on Memorial Day, and they found the culprit. The culprit was a woodchuck. I just got the paper. It says cemetery vandal caught in the act, and it shows a picture of a woodchuck, and a groundhog was the culprit. Just kind of a funny different story, but he was actually taking the flags off the graves and breaking them in half, and take him in his hole.
Well, they like to do those kinds of things. Yeah, I know we have all kinds of animals up where I live here in Northeast Philadelphia, and wow, they come walking out, these people, you know, they like shocked to see a deer all of a sudden appear at 8 o'clock at night.
I wish I was small enough to crawl in that hole and see what kind of man cave he's built with all that.
And that made the Associated Press guys. That became a national story. It was local here, but pretty funny.
Mark, there was a lot of talk about that light bulb company, and people said, well, wait a minute. If they are able to have one light bulb company in America, why can't that be duplicated across the USA?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and this this gentleman I met was excellent. He was the owner. He's fighting the fight to keep it here. He's telling me it's very tough, but he's got a lot of passion. We're going to have these light bulbs in within days. Everything's in process. But then there's the, you know, that's an incandescent light bulb. There's LED light bulbs. There's fluorescents. A lot of it's a great point, Mike. We could get a lot of that business back here. And, you know, the bulbs he got into, a lot of the cheaper, inexpensive bulbs only last 2 to 4 weeks. His bulb lasts a year. You know, I mean, there's a lot of quality. Of course, people want to sell more light bulbs. It's like a razor blade. But, you know, you want a quality light bulb. Why can't you expand that industry in this United States right now, especially the new LED? There's four types of different light bulbs now. It would be awesome for another company. I just think it's very sad that there's only one left and he's struggling.
Well, Mark, make sure that your contacts get this message that people would like to see those American-made light bulbs on the market, because it's insane. How can we depend? Now, I had to return a number of light bulbs made foreign, which there was no American-made version of it. I had to return them, and then when I did, the person said, well, it was probably damaged in shipping. So they no argument about it, return, just bring it in, show the receipt, and goodbye. But the thing is, I would much rather see it, whether it was returned or whatever, made here in the USA and not have to worry about all that shipments and the cargo containers got banged around or whatever.
And, Mike, look at how many companies just one light bulb affected. I think I read off 12 to 15 other companies, and that's that spider web effect we talk about. It's not just the light bulb. It's all these other companies that help from the packaging to the components.
You know, if anyone did not have an opportunity to listen to last Wednesday's broadcast, you'll hear Larkin's joke and you'll hear that rundown about the light bulb from Mark by going to Listen Anytime link on the front page of American Workers Radio, where we have all of our information listed. Well, Rich, you were on travel last week. How is everything with you?
Guys, good morning. I'm back. You know, I want to tell you that we got a lot of animals down here in Florida. They all drive. That's what's remarkable. people ask me if I like Florida. I say, I love Florida. It's just the people I can't stand. But I'm back. And, you know, guys, you got me thinking. When I listened to last week's broadcast, you guys got me thinking about something and talking about foreign investment. Mark, and you and Nick were talking about that. And, you know, when we talk about small businesses, if we think about making things, you know, Mark, you're talking about light bulbs. And I know we've talked about garden hoses and things like that. If small and mid-sized businesses, those are typically the kinds of things that they make. They make what we call in our business consumables. Small to mid-sized businesses are not really making cars and cell phones and computers. They're making things for everyday use. And Mark, I'm on the prowl right now to find a Florida business that makes here in the U.S. bicycles.
Yeah, you know, I did get that text, and I'm thinking, you know, Schwinn does not. There's a used to be a, I believe it was H-O-R-O was the closest you could get. I'm going to get that answer. There's not 100% one I know, because there's not a tire for a bicycle made in the country. I know that was my problem when I was on that leg. But I will get you some information, Rich. That's a very good question. That's a bicycle. It's pretty simple.
Now, you know, that's sad when I hear you guys talk about that, because every bicycle 20 years ago was made here in the USA. Very, very rare did I find something where the manufacturer just said, oh, that came in and it'll take me 2 days to get it, or we'll have it made especially according to your standards in a matter of 2 weeks. None of it came foreign made. This is really getting spooky. And I want to tell you about a little bit about the what's happening with the Consumer Reports. Have any of you ever heard of this site, ConsumerReportsPlural.com? That's something I'm going to talk about because they've done a survey in the last year. But first of all, I'm going to turn the microphone over to someone who has some important message to give to us, and that is Larkin Connolly. Larkin, take it away. He wants to say a few things, and I agree with what he has to say.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Mark and Rich and audience. You know, I wish you had been here last week, Rich, because I really had this thought last week as I was sitting here on air. And I went home and I thought about it and thought about it, and I kind of gestated this thing into a, what I think is a pretty outstanding plan that I think you'll go for. And I will get your support for this, I'm sure. I am proposing that we go immediately to a single-payer system for all Americans without regard to their position or stature in life. Private citizens, seniors, infants, the military, the faithful elected and appointed public employees, even the Ushkies and the Pushkies. Everyone is covered by a Medicare-like policy. That's step one. So far, Rich, are you on board?
I'm in. I'm in, Rocket. So far, I'm in.
Okay. So here comes the tricky part, but I think this is the part that really kind of gels and makes it all work. We're going to shut down, and I mean from stem to stern, we are going to shut down the VA system. Remember now, the vets are going to be covered by the new single-payer system, and all what I'm going to do here then is I'm going to take all VA employees, they will be transferred over to the new single-payer system in like-and-kind positions. They'll do, you know, they've done such an exemplary job with the VA system. I think it would be outstanding if we could get them over on the single-payer system and let them run that for us. By the way, Shinseki gets the top job. I'm going to bring him back. I'm going to give him a little bit of an increase, a little bump. And he's going to have the title Head Health Mahoff, and he's going to run that whole system for us. Now, point three, if by any chance the 280,000 employees at the VA system with their annual budget of $47 billion do not end up being enough to run this new single-payer system, well then, and I hope you understand $47 billion, there are some 23 million vets out there, not all of them in the system, but let's just assume 23 million vets in our system right now, $47 billion to deliver the level of health care that they delivered to our vets, $47 billion. So if we need more employees, we'll recruit employees from the post office, and we'll recruit employees from the IRS. And we'll have special senior management positions will be held open for anyone in the Congress who has served over 16 years and is willing to retire and take a good cushy job at the new single-payer system. Now, the only thing I'm short with, and Rich, I was hoping that you could come up with this, is I don't know what to call this system. I got a couple cuss words I could throw in there that I would call.
You know,
it,
I sort of am amazed to hear that breakdown. I mean, I wonder how America's employers would think about that. Well, nobody. What you're proposing, Larkin, is nobody loses a job.
Nobody loses a job. No, we're just going to shut down the VA and move them. Listen, the VA is such an exemplary health system. We'll bring them over and let them run the single payer system. Why not? I mean, right, Rich? I mean, bring them over.
Larkin, you got, as I've mentioned on air before, when I was in Philadelphia last year and after a nice long night of hitting the bars, you decided to go to one last one. You earned my vote that night. That was all. You got it that night. The fact that you outpaced all of us, you got me. Martin, bottom line.
That's the Irish in me, brother.
I don't object to anything you said. Everybody in, nobody out, everybody pays. I didn't hear the words free health care come out of your mouth because there's no such thing as free. What I did hear you say is removing some of the numerous layers that essentially amount to what I would call a quasi-pyramid scheme, the way our health system works. It's so convoluted that the president himself doesn't get it, which is why he said you could keep your policy, and we could start to trim some of that near $3 trillion that we spend a year in health care, most for any country in the world GDP. It's more than our Social Security and military budgets combined, and we spend more in the military than the next 20 countries. I'm on board.
Mark?
I love it. I think it should be called the Larkin Smart Plan. It makes sense. That's what we're lacking, common sense. No, I love it. You're not hurting employees. You're using employees that get it and have done a good job. Everybody's on board. Everybody works for it, pays for it. You're using it. You even offered to help the postal office employees and the IRS employees and focus them all together. It's what we need.
I love it. I mean, I love it. I think that this is the start of something brand new. We have to do it. Now, Larkin, I'd like to get here Dr. Sue to hear his upgraded ideas on what he would like to see. I think that we proposed that during a broadcast with him. Rich, could you make some contact with Dr. Sue?
Sure, no problem, guys. In fact, I was just in touch with Dr. Sue recently. I'll make sure we get him back on.
Because somebody has to do something. I mean, we're coming up to the midterm elections. Everybody seems to be just sitting quiet. And as a person who has employees, I want to tell you that it's really scary. Every week, I get some notice from the healthcare system. Every week, it's do they smoke? Do they this? How's the tardiness? Do they have? It's unbelievable. They want to know everything about you. Now, I don't know how we can help Larkin's plan to take place, but I think it's something that maybe we can bring to Nick's attention, Nick Triano's attention. Maybe he would give some suggestions. Rich, maybe you can talk to Nick. We'll get him back
on. Absolutely. And, you know, and Larkin, about the implementation, one of the most common rebuttals to a single-payer system, and it's been talked about on our show, is, you know, it's going to be bumpy. You know what? Undoubtedly, it's going to be bumpy implementing it. Undoubtedly, there are going to be some obstacles to overcome. It's probably not going to be any bumpier than being in Afghanistan for the last 20 years or Iraq for the last 11. I mean, those are pretty bumpy rides, too. So we can manage. We're America. We can do anything in the world that's done well. We can do better because we are that leader. Economically and politically, for better or for worse, we are that leader. So, yeah, it'll be bumpy. Sure, there'll be obstacles. No problem. We'll work through them, and we'll figure it out.
You know, last week when I was talking with some people out at the Memorial Day parade, they said, you know, Michael, we hear about all these foreign countries and their healthcare systems. Maybe we should have a few guests on from those foreign countries to tell us actually how their plans work. And I thought, you know, that's a very good idea.
You sound like you're in a garbage can. Are you calling in? Are you calling in again from home?
You know, that line about Afghanistan was so good, Henry had to play it twice.
But, you know, I like the idea of maybe we could get Dr. Sue on and even Nick and possibly a retired doctor or someone who's just entering the field. Let's hear what they have to offer. Gentlemen, I have to take a pause for a few advertisements. Hold on.
Download the Go4USA mobile app from the iTunes Store today. This is an online database which helps you pinpoint where to purchase American-made goods and allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S.-made products and services now have what they need in the palm of their hand. These platforms will access the same product, manufacturer, and retailer information available today and which continues to grow from the dedicated efforts of the Mobile Army. Download this great app from the App Store today and help us help each other. Buying American-made keeps American jobs. The Gopher USA app will be released for the Android market very shortly. This great app is a free download Flag Day weekend, June 14th and 15th, as well as the three-day 4th of July weekend. You heard it here first. Stop on into the Liberty Bell Diner, located at 8445 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Enjoy breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or give them a call at 215-331-4344 for takeout and or free delivery. They also welcome you to their walk-up window, where you can enjoy your favorite cold treats and desserts. Halil and his staff welcome you to join them for a 15% VIP discount when you tell them that we sent you. Lubemaster Auto is located at 6120 Frankfort Avenue, right next to the Burger King, and invites you to bring your car, truck, or SUV in today for any auto repairs that you may need. From oil changes to brake jobs, tires, inspections, and admissions, they do it all. They are open from Monday to Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sunday. They would like to offer 10% off of any service with the mention of this ad. Call them today at 215-535-5322. Pat's Auto Tax has three convenient locations to serve you in the Philadelphia area. Stop into 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond, which has same-day direct link service with the DMV. Call them today at 215-427-1832. They also have a location at 5501 Harbison Avenue at the corner of Harbison and Sanger Streets, 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Call them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them that we sent you. Phil's Hairstyling is located at 4401 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. They have many services available for men, women, and children. Call them today at 215-535-8997 and let them know you heard their ad on our radio program for the 10% off discount on your next hairstyle. Stan's Health Foods, located at 7161 Frankfort Avenue in Philadelphia, specializes in bodybuilding supplements, health and beauty supplies, vitamins, all-natural pet products, gluten-free foods, herbs, teas, and much more. Visit them online at stanshealthfoods.com. Stop into their location or call them at 215-332-4577 for more information. The Tri-State Media Network is a radio, internet, and newspaper advertising service available to hundreds of thousands of readers and listeners throughout the Tri-State area. They promote advertisers on their internet and Facebook pages, as well as here on 860 AM. Visit them today at www.tristatemedianetwork.com or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/Tri-State Media Network. Call them today at 215-829-9200 for more information on their advertising services.
Well, I would like to thank Stephen for those outstanding advertising presentations. And I also would like to mention we have a few other sponsors. And before I get into that, this is the first weekend of the month. So this Friday, the 6th, Saturday, the 7th, and Sunday, the 8th is National Small Business Weekend. And you're encouraged to go out and support all of your local businesses. There is a link on the front page which highlights all of the benefits of supporting local businesses. And also Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue. That's in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-739-8521. And Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations in the Philadelphia area. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, give them a call at at 215-535-6606. And don't forget, when you're in Northeast Philadelphia, that the net cost market is located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's at Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue. Check it out. And also, I'd like to mention, Steve had mentioned that the Go4 USA app is available. And this week, by the way, in several Philadelphia air newspapers and on our airwaves, we're going to be featuring a number of our sponsors. If you live in the area that offers the Star newspaper or the Northeast Times, Zone 1 and 2, make sure you look for our page highlighting National Small Business Weekend and a full page of advertisers that are promoting this effort. But do check out all of the links, including Made in America Store, Made in USA, Go4 USA, and the other links that are listed on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we return, I want to move to a separate subject. I'm going to ask Rich if he would be able to address the Larkin request. I'd like to see that happen very much with Dr. Sue. I also want to mention, Mark, that we were talking about the light bulbs last week and some industries from China relocating here in the USA. Well, there is a very good internet site. It's called consumerreports.com, consumerreports.com. And for the record, the Consumer Reports National Research Center has done a poll over the last year from February 2013 to date, showing that 78% of America's consumers, given the choice between foreign-made and American-made, would much rather buy an American-made product. Over 80% of the respondents cited that retaining jobs here in the USA and keeping our people employed and our global economy doing strong with an American presence is really what they would like to see supported. Also, 60% of the people surveyed indicated that they would like to have American-made products and that they would even pay more for those products if they were available. Now, in spite of all the good news that we're hearing about clothing coming back and some appliances and light bulbs and everything else, there still remains the major problem. There's not enough American-made items presently in circulation in our stores. And Mark, with your bulbs and all of the other people that listen in that tell me about local hardware stores and clothing stores that are now highlighting American-made products, I want to ask everybody to get involved. Mark, after you heard that report and the percentages of the people, what would you like to add that would help bring more attention to our movement?
Yeah, you know, I think I love the report, and I love that they just them doing the report shows that there's a movement on, and consumerism has been definitely pointing towards Made in America. We prove it every day. People want it. That's why you're seeing all this change, even Walmart trying to get into the game. And I just think consumerism, people power, keep talking it up, keep asking for it because it'll drive it. But like we bring up the light bulb, we've got to get other people interested in getting into that business, but then the government plays the part, either get out of our way or give incentives to help us get that industry rolling again. I always bring up that flag. You know, if people had a choice, don't you want your American flag made here? And that's always one that most people can agree on. I just think it's a great report. People want Made in America products. I just had a bus 10 minutes before I was on today from about 4 hours away, and only about 30 people, weren't at the store. There was about 5 people only that were at our store before, and they just love that we did the homework for and it's available. They don't have to look. Every day I see it growing because, of course, I get the buses, especially in June, we're strong. I believe people want it. We got to put it in front of it. We've got it in front of them, and we got to make it convenient. But there's areas we're not into anymore, like electronics and items that take batteries, so we got to get more into that area.
And with new graduates coming out of school and them getting together, I really hope that they will sit down and come up with a plan of action and tell us how are we going to get some of these industries back here in the USA. Steve, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, as I said in the ads, with the report that Michael just mentioned and the amount of people that want the American-made products, you know, this Gopher USA mobile app, I've been on it a couple times. It's really good. And for the listeners who don't have the iTunes market or Android, they can go to goformadeinamerica.com. And, you know, it's up to the consumers to, you know, help us grow this effort and everything else. So they can go on there and it's, you know, the consumers can help each other to find the American-made products. And that's how, you know, this whole effort is going to be built around each other. And to get into it is very, very easy. They have the free downloads coming up. And, you know, it's a really good app. And I think it's definitely something that the listeners can look at and, you know, help us help each other.
So, you know, I think those are great numbers from Consumer Reports. They're also the largest. They print the largest consumer magazine in the world called Consumer Reports, and they are extremely reliable. But if you accept their numbers, the 80% of people that would prefer to buy American made is a great number. The 60% that say that that they would buy American made even if it were more expensive is where your disconnect is. I mean, that's 20% a difference, and if I could sit here with my little calculator, I could come up with some even better percentages. But I think that some of that 60% that said they'd pay more money for American-made products probably doesn't realize what they're saying. That continues to be the disconnect, is that we're having products dumped on our shores by China and Japan and Indonesia and Vietnam and India, you know, and as long as there is a widget out there that's the same color green widget that I can buy in America, and it's half the price, I'm as an American probably going to buy the cheaper widget.
So, you know, Larkin, you bring this right into the point I wanted to make next. The Consumer Reports also say that there's an issue of great concern, and that is some of the companies are practicing being patriotic, and when you look at their packaging, you would think, my God, it's American made, until you look closely at the label. And Mark, you should know this better than anybody. You could have a beautiful American flag, or you can have a saying that says America's favorite or whatever, but when you look closely at the label, it's 100% foreign made. And this is a concern where people said, well, I did pick that up, and then when I got home, I looked and it says it's made in Taiwan. Yet it's beautiful with a flag and red, white, and blue packaging. I want to make sure that people look at the packages and really go out of their way. But Mark and Larkin and Rich, I want to say this to you. The fact that people are going out of their way, the fact that people are going in and bitching at stores that there's not enough product on the shelf, makes the entire movement a success.
Well, and allow me to stress this. What Mark is doing is magnanimous. I'm a huge supporter of what he does, and I promote it every opportunity that I get. And buying American-made is so, so important. It is the backbone of what we do here for an hour a week. And as I predicted last year, and I will continue to predict this year, it is becoming more and more and more of an issue. I see it more every day. I see the American flag. Mm-hmm. I see made in America, made in USA, all over the products that we basically see every day, the consumable items that we are confronted with in convenience stores and grocery stores all over the country. So,
and guys, Larkin, thank you for the kind comments, too. Let's talk about quality a little bit, though. Because I'm big on that quality. Just over the weekend, I was getting a small push mower rolling and to do this small piece of grass. And, you know, I go to start. Of course, the carburetor's varnished up, so I was a small engine mechanic. You know, so I take the carb off. Then I realize the gas is no good. And in about four you know, 4 hours it took to do this hour project, right? But the gas, you know, we're paying $4 a gallon for isn't what it used to be. There's no stretch of anybody's imagination. It used to last 2 years, no problem. Now it lasts 6 months before it goes bad. The fuel line on this mower is not American-made, is half the size of it used to be. The carburetor has no adjustments. You can't adjust it. It's basically a throwaway item now, so we lost the quality. You go to a Mustang I have for my wife. I go to run it. We charge it for 16 hours. The battery that I put in last year is already bad. It has bad cells in it because it's made in China and it's inferior quality. And it was so funny Sunday. I was so mad at poor quality. I'm big into buying something once. We talk about a garden hose or a light bulb that lasts a year, not 3 months. I think we never want to. We got to have a culture change and the throwaway world and bring back that quality and have things. And that's teaching our kids and getting quality items and keeping them and passing them down. Because why buy 10 garden hoses over the next 10 years? Buy one that lasts 10 years.
I agree. And I've got to tell you a story that I have not told. And it happened to me about 3 weeks ago. They closed off South Street, which is a major economic thoroughfare in Philadelphia from end to end, and they had booths all up and down the street and people walking up and down the street. There was as much food as there was everything else. But my granddaughter was visiting from St. Augustine, and of course I had the fans following her and the guy pushing the broom to make sure she didn't get anything. I mean, this woman is going to be the queen if it's the last thing I do, and she's so cute. Well, she stopped in at one of these stands. It couldn't have been 20 yards from our house. We live right off of South Street. And this guy had these push things on a stick. And you push it, and a duck does something. This happened to be enclosed in a dome, and there were lights and sparks, and the duck twirled around. Charlie is her name. Charlie saw this and looked around like, okay, so how do I make this mine? And started to grab it. And I said, I'll buy that for her. I mean, of course I will. As a matter of fact, I'll buy the whole stand for her if she wants it. And I turned to the guy, and there was a $10 price tag on it. And I said, I don't know about 10 bucks. He said, I'll take 7. I said, okay. So I paid him 7 bucks. Away, Charlie goes pushing this thing up the street. My wife turns to me and goes, what, you didn't give that guy 10 bucks for that, did you? And I said, no. I pulled him down a little bit. I got 7 bucks. She said, I wouldn't have given him 5. And I promise you, we didn't get 22 feet away from that table. And the whole thing fell apart. I mean, it stopped making sparks. The stick came off. And her father was on his knees in the middle of South Street trying to get this stick back in. I mean, seriously, it did everything but the wheels fall off.
And now, Larkin, how far were you from the stand?
22 feet.
I want to tell you something. If it was me, I'd be right back
there.
Oh,
no.
I would have raised, holy hell. I would have made sure you didn't have a customer the rest of the day.
You need to understand. I turned around and walked right back to the guy and said, do you see what just happened? We hadn't even hardly left his booth. And he goes, is that mine?
No, it's the guy down the street.
Is that yours?
No.
That guy. I bought it at Macy's. What do you mean, is that yours? And here's what he laid on me, which I thought it just absolutely killed me. Buyer beware.
And I hate that phrase.
What's the warranty on that thing? And he said, the warranty lasts till you're 5 feet from my table. I'm sorry. There's nothing I don't know whether she pounded it on the pavement or kicked it or somebody else kicked it.
I would have said nobody's going to be within 5 feet of your stand.
Yeah. Well,
forget that.
At any rate, we turned it over and it was made in Taiwan. So, you know, whatever.
It seems like more and more it's all of, like Mark, like you said, it's all about quantity, not quality. And that's,
right.
You know, that's the vision that we really have to push. When I was DJing, you know, that was one of the biggest things that I was pushing as a small business was it's the quality of the product you're going to receive. So you're going to receive the two DJs, you know, and I'll stand on my head and spin around if I have to, versus getting 7 jobs in a weekend. You know, and it's the same thing with these products. I mean, you know, Mark, you see it every day, and the products themselves are what's going to make that next customer buy them. So they see them on, you know, Sally down the street, and they're going to go, hey, where'd you get that? you know, and it's that American quality that you can't get anywhere else. And that's what the consumers and the retailers and everybody else has to really get through their heads.
And you know what? That's a good point. And it's something else that was listed in the consumer reports is that many of America's young people are looking for the American-made items faster than the people who are, you know, retired and all.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is many of the younger people have already seen unemployment. They've seen themselves graduating out of high schools and colleges with things to do that are not wanted or needed, and they're flipping hamburgers or, you know, working on the boardwalk, and they themselves are starting to say, we got to do something about this or we're not going to have a future.
You know, I have a very famous wall in my office, and there are a lot of things I've hung up there that I like to see. About 15 of Abe Lincoln's quotes. You know, you can't make the poor better by picking on the rich and la, 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 all the rest of that stuff. But there's a guy sitting at a desk. It's a cartoon. Guy sitting at a desk. He looks like the boss. He's got a guy standing in front of the desk, and he's speaking to the underling that's by. And behind him on the wall is a sign, and a big sign that says "More." And he's saying to his employee, "That's our mission statement this year.
We want more." Mm-hmm.
More.
But with that, I'm going to make a comment. I say this to people from time to time. We all have to remember that you can't get the same amount of milk from one cow that you can get out of three cows. So no matter how you try, you're not going to succeed. And it's the same with taxes. You can't get the same amount of payroll taxes from one person that you can get from three workers. I mean, Mark, you know that better than anybody.
Absolutely. I think all the things we're touching on make sense, but quality is something I think we all agree we lost. Larkin, that's a great story on, you know, that salesman. As far as he can see it, he'll warn.
Yeah, was it? It was that the one you just took him down for $3, and here he's questioning you. Did you buy that here? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Sure. So, and the saddest part of it all is he doesn't have 80 cents in that toy.
Americans buy for the experience now a lot of times and not, you know, doing their homework. And that's what we're trying to change, get people to ask questions, get quality. I really don't mind any quality product, where it's from, you know, what country. Our favorite shirt, remember, is Made in America store because China's a long drive to work. We pick on China a little bit there, but it is poor quality, most of it. And we've, you know, we're the ones that invented it and thought of it, and they're masters at stealing intellectual properties in that box.
Well, they all figured out, Mark, that you can be successful in this country, in our economy, if you understand that everything we do, almost everything we do, is based on price. Price.
Well, and that being said, I don't know if anybody saw the article the other day. I saw it online. There was a cookie retailer, not going to name names or anything, but you have to really look at the labels even on food now, because the same price and you get 13 ounces versus 15 ounces from what you were paying 3 weeks ago. So that's even ridiculous when you have to look at the food to see the quality and the price, and that, you know, it's they're coming from everywhere. It's all over.
There's one thing I have to say that which I have to mark. This was is going to fit right into what we're talking about. As I go out to these events, people stop and they say, you know, I love you guys. You sound like a few guys sitting around at a dinner table or at a restaurant table just having a good time talking about matters. But some people say to me, you know, until you started talking about all of the empty buildings, the available signs, the for rents, the going out of business, I never really noticed them. And now that we're talking about it, I'm noticing, I'm saying, how can we have so many empty buildings in a short, you know, area, in a mile area? This is available, that's available. So, I mean, our message is getting to people, and people going out to picnics and anniversaries and all are starting to talk about what are we going to do to help one another, because we certainly see that people from other countries are not going to come over here and help us.
Yeah, Michael, that's it. That's the same principle that I talk about with voting. As a consumer, we can plead the people. And people will be pleasantly surprised, I think, to discover that more goods than they may realize are made here and are starting to be made here. And absolutely, Larkin, what you said about we, you know, that's one of the bases of what we talk about weekly, getting more things made here, which will result in more labor and more jobs, right? The jobs talk that we always are addressing. Well, the fact is that people are, I think they are ready for there to be more items made here. But that bicycle that I talked about, guys, I'll tell you, there are plenty of American-made bicycles. They cost, it seems like some of them cost what the price of a small car is, though. And that's out of reach. You know, that's out of reach for most families.
And, you know, Richard, you're right. As I talk to stores, the people who do the purchasing, they say, Michael, there are products on the shelves in other states and other down south and places like that, but they're not here because our merchandisers don't want to bring them north, because once you bring them here, it's going to be an avalanche of American-made products coming up here, and then our dealers are going to have to deal with getting less money per item.
You know, I love that you brought up the light bulb, Mike, you know, first of the show, and we're talking, look what the light bulb raises questions. Everybody's got a light bulb generally in the United States in their house. It's something that everybody has. Just bringing that up has brought so much question to me about the empty buildings, Mike. Like, wow, we don't make a light bulb? There's only one company left, Mark? You know, and just in the last week, it's been so funny how much I hear from that one, just bringing that, making people aware. And like you said, Mike, once you started talking about empty buildings, people, it's funny, they drive by them but don't really realize what happened, you know, where we got to as a country. Even on the bicycle, Rich, it's amazing with the automation, even 3D printing coming up, which I'm big into, you know, that's kind of neat. We can't make a bicycle again. You know, Americans stop dreaming, and we got to get them freer and lighten up the regulation on them so they can start thinking of these things.
Well, you know,
and Mark, don't forget, Mark, we still got to talk offline. I got something for you.
Okay, yes, Rich.
You know, there are so many distractions in the news media, on television, on radio, that people are not focused on what's really happening around them that's important. It's graduation time when we talk about 1.6 million new college graduates coming out, and only 45% of them have a bite for the actual job that they are graduating with the degree. That's the kind of thing that people are starting to think about as they hear it on broadcasts like this. I'm disappointed that many of the bigger, the national affiliates, haven't picked up on these ideas and focused on it to help bring about the economy. The big companies are saying, oh, the advertisers are laying low because the business is not as good as it used to be. We're combining efforts, we're merging this and that. Well, why aren't you talking about what the people really need and want to talk about to get the people back to work? But they simply don't want to do it.
You know, so where is the give point, though? I mean, if all of a sudden I come up with enough capital to start a furniture company, and I start making bedroom furniture, and I produce a very high-quality bedroom furniture for the price, and I've seen enough ads, as you all have, for Bob's World or whatever the next one is, you know, I produce a really, really nice bedroom set. If I put that factory in Philadelphia, I got a problem. Because I'm going to get struck by the Carpenters Union if I don't step up to the plate, and I'm not willing to pay them $45 to $48 an hour plus benefits and their dues and everything else. So building furniture in Philadelphia, out of the question.
Well, if you see...
out of the question.
But you know what? We're beginning to see some things changing on every level. Would you know, guys, in Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, they're just introducing legislation where the state will no longer collect union dues for the state employees. They will have to pay it to the unions directly. I mean, a lot of this is unfortunate that it's come to this, but it is coming to this because people are tired of being without a job. After their unemployment benefits go all out, they have no income. They have to do under-the-table jobs and things like that. It's simply not what America's dream is all about.
Let me get even a little further off track, because I read something the other day that had me so irritated, and it was on the editorial page. We have a union in town that has, that involves a bunch of electrical workers, and I think I might have even brought this up last week. Since 2001, that union, has spent $25 million on political advertising. $25 million. So the guy next door to me looked at me and said, well, they've got their political opinion there. What would you do with the money? And I said, I'd give it back to the damn members where you got it from.
Right, right. Lower the dues and let's take money out of politics, which is something Rich has been promoting for a long, long time. By the way, gentlemen, I want to just take a brief point to acknowledge a few of our sponsors. I'll do it very briefly, reminding you that they are asking you to go out and support National Small Business Weekend this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. Best wishes from Michael Steinman, attorney at law, from Dr. Eva Machak, who has two dental offices in Philadelphia, from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as from the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, and from Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. And Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Bank with locations in Philadelphia, asks you to go out and support National Small Business Weekend, as does Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, and Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance, as well as Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and Everest Dental in Northeast Philadelphia, and the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest national insurance organization. Ask all of you to go out and support your local businesses. Please, this is a weekend we can really make a difference. Speak up where you shop. Make sure you let them know that you're looking for American made. Well, getting back to our issue today, we're learning more and more that people outside of the United States want to come to the United States, open up shop, have a nice label on their products, and be able to sell them. My big campaign as we continue the year 2014 as the year of American made is to get more of the companies in America to expand and restore all of their product lines here in the USA. And Mark, I'm going to ask you to contact the light bulb company and see what they could do. And through our efforts, maybe we can even give them some national push to get that done.
Yeah, and if you'd like, I'll try and get the owner on. I mean, he might as well, you know, come on. One thing you touched on, too, was the we always talk about the lack of skilled trades and whatnot. I'd like to bring up a 20-year-old, well, he's a student. He just finished college last week. He asked to do a tour, so he got a hold of me, and I gave him a tour of general welding and all the things we do. And I said, what'd you take in business? He said, marketing and business, but I really want to work with my hands. And it's amazing to see his eyes light up when I show him all the things we're into. Again, in schools we stress that they've got to expose our children. They took a lot of that skilled workshops, the wood shops and metal shops, out of the schools. But you could see this. He tried to college. He got that two-year, but he really wants to get working with his hands, and he just wished he was shown that earlier in life.
You know, Mark, you just brought up something that I had a discussion with one of our school board representatives, and he said, Michael, I agree, but do you realize how much money it would take for us to restore all of those industrial arts programs and trades in our school? And I said, well, Jim, they should have never been taken out in the first place. And that's the bottom line. Everybody has an excuse, but nobody has a plan to get things back on track.
What they do is continue to pass laws like the one out in Seattle that got voted on, I think, 2 days ago and passed, which will elevate the minimum wage in Seattle to $15 an hour. So we no longer have entry-level employees. $15 an hour, by the way.
Is that true, Larkin? I heard that yesterday.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't... they passed it.
And where is that?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, I heard that, and I wasn't sure.
Seattle, Washington.
$15
an hour. Now, you know, in Seattle's defense, they have a pretty healthy city. They have a pretty healthy economy by virtue of all of the IT and technical work that they do out there. But unfortunately, there are a lot of eastern cities, we might be sitting in one right now, that follow very closely what Seattle does. So.
But you know what, Larkin and Mark, as I listen to that, if we get our industries back, if we get our people back to work, the sky is the limit.
Oh,
you will
is.
Be given what you really have a skill to do.
But did you hear your if?
Yeah.
That nobody in their right mind is going to sit there and tell you that $7.50 an hour is a legitimate pay rate. It's absolutely bizarre. It needs to be raised. And whether you want to argue 9.
It's enslavement.
10. Yeah, right. 15. That doesn't make any difference. But if you've got a sick cow that you're not getting any milk out of, you don't take it to the barn and try to milk it.
That's right. And remember, you can't get the same amount of milk out of one cow that you can get out of three.
Who brought up cows? So, but I mean, you know, the net bottom line is if you make the economy well, if you get us back up on our feet, get everything spirited, get some money out in the streets so small businesses can be started, good wages will follow. Don't tell me that giving somebody $15 an hour is going to stimulate the economy. Oh, yes.
Larkin, giving $50 an hour, if a person has no skill, is giving $50 away. I would rather teach that person a skill and have them be able to do what they are going to be doing and do it well for life.
And Washington can't even run a lemonade stand, right? So.
Even at $15 an hour.
Well, gentlemen, as you can see, we had another family table wide discussion here, and I want to thank Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Steve Swilchinski for joining our efforts today. And Mr. Chaplinski, thank you again for being a great engineer. And all the guys at the station, we want to wish you the very best. This is National Small Business Weekend. Please go out and support your local businesses. They need you now more than ever. And while you're there, speak up in behalf of American Made. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11 here on 860 AM, I wish all of you the very best.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, everyone.